The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 7th chapter, text number 44, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded on 31st May of 1983 in Vancouver, Canada.
Gopi jana bala bha Ivala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
It is said that great personalities must always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of the people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is present in everyone's heart. With His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here is an explanation of how those engaged in activities for the welfare of others are very quickly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yaidam parmam guyam madbhaktesha abhidasyati nacha tasman manushyesu kashchin me priya krita maha. One who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. There are different kinds of welfare activities in this mature world, but the supreme welfare activity is the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. It is by destiny or the laws of karma then one must suffer or enjoy. For instance, if one is given a court order, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering or profit. Similarly, everyone is under obligations to karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, the Shastras say, one should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down the universe as a result of the reactions of karma. What is that? One should endeavor to become Krishna conscious. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? If one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord who is within everyone supplies him whatever he wants. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Again as stated here, Tapyante loka tapina sadha prayasho janaha. The best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness, since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness. The Lord Himself also comes to mitigate the suffering of humanity. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. And all the Shastras conclude, therefore, that spreading Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world. Because of the ultimate benefit this bestows upon people in general, the Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee. Tapyante loka tapena sadva prayasho janaha paramara dhanam taddhi purushasya khilatmanaha. So, this verse is being spoken by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was requested by demigods to please help. There was a vast ocean of poison, and this would have killed everyone. So the demigods approached Lord Shiva for help. and Lord Shiva agreed to drink the ocean of poison. And after having drunk this ocean of poison, Lord Shiva is speaking the following words. So Lord Shiva over here is saying that the great personalities, they accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of the people in general. Lord Shiva had no reason to drink this ocean of poison. So similarly, the devotees of this Krishna conscious movement, they have to voluntarily undergo the suffering because of the suffering of the people in general. Just like there was an ocean of poison. Similarly, in society today, there is an ocean of poison. Sense gratification is poison. So the ocean of poison is everywhere. Everywhere. The human being is engaged in sense gratification. Poison can be seen everywhere. And people are willingly drinking poison. As Narottam Das Thakur has said, Hari Hari Bifle Janma Gunainu Manusha Janma Paya Radha Krishna Nabhajaya Janya Shunya Picha Khainu. Having obtained this human form of life and not having worshipped Radha and Krishna, I have been drinking poison uselessly. So majority of the population today is just drinking poison because they are not interested in worship of the Supreme Lord. So as Lord Shiva here is stating, those who have understood the purpose of human life, they have to voluntarily accept inconveniences because of the suffering of the people. Anyone who is drinking poison cannot be comfortable. One who is drinking poison may think that he is comfortable, but one who is healthy knows that one who is drinking poison or one who is engaged in sense gratification can never really be happy and will always suffer. The suffering just goes on increasing. So the devotees, as Prabhupada states in the purport, that the devotees have to voluntarily undergo the inconvenience in order to relieve the suffering of the people in general. And it goes on to say that this is the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord can be worshipped in a variety of ways. But the highest worship of the Supreme Lord is when one is worshipping the Supreme Lord in distributing, in broadcasting the glories of the Supreme Lord. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that those who are engaged in distributing the glories of the Sankirtan movement, they are constantly tasting the nectar of the process of devotional service. The process of devotional service is described to be very sweet. But those who are engaged in propagating this Krishna conscious philosophy, they are actually drinking the nectar. Sweetness is there, but nectar is so higher. So the nectar of devotional service is drunk by those who are engaged in fulfilling this instruction of Lord Shiva. This instruction of Lord Shiva is very important for every member of this Krishna conscious movement, because the Krishna conscious devotee has to manifest Krishna consciousness internally and externally. Internally, the Krishna consciousness is manifested when we're trying to engage the mind in thinking of Krishna, when we're trying to engage the senses in service to Krishna. And the external manifestation of Krishna consciousness is when we are preaching Krishna consciousness. If we abstain from preaching Krishna consciousness, then Krishna consciousness is being practiced only internally. Whereas the desire of the spiritual master, the desire of the scriptures is that Krishna consciousness be practiced both internally and externally. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself set the mood how Krishna consciousness should be practiced internally and externally. Internal practice of Krishna consciousness is to have the mind and the senses focused on the principles of devotional service. And when the philosophy that we hear is translated into action, then that is the external manifestation of Krishna consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself also traveled all over India trying to propagate this Krishna consciousness. In fact, there are very nice descriptions of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he traveled to South India, how he converted everyone to Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling with his entourage, and people from different villages would just come and see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing and performing Sankirtan. And just by seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance and perform Sankirtan from a distance, they would also begin to chant and dance Hare. And then they would each go back to their respective villages. And the villagers, just by seeing each of these people chant and dance, they would also begin to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. But this was possible in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was the incarnation of the personality of Godhead. And just by seeing him from a distance, people would become Krishna conscious. And not only would people become Krishna conscious by seeing him from a distance, but when these people would go back to their respective villages, others would also become Krishna conscious just by watching these people. And whoever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met, he just instructed him to chant Hare Krishna and read and understand the message of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. There is a nice story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meeting this Brahmin Kurma. This Brahmin Kurma was a priest, and he was very, very attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. But he was also a householder, so he wanted to leave and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, there's no need to do that. You can just stay where you are, but just chant Hare Krishna and understand this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And then a little later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met this man, Vasudeva. He was suffering from a very serious disease, leprosy. But Vasudeva was very attached to the idea of meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Vasudeva was also a very compassionate devotee. His whole body was full of worms, can you imagine? And when the worms would fall down from his body, he would pick those worms and put them back in his body. But when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. And his leprosy was totally gone. And he became very beautiful, handsome, and very healthy. Just by getting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's embrace, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left the Brahmin Kurma's house. But when Vasudeva reached over there, he found out that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left, and he became very, very sad. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva also in this verse is saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everyone's heart. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also present in Vasudeva's heart. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that Vasudeva was feeling very sad because he has left. So he went back and he embraced him. And the moment he embraced him, Vasudeva got free of his leprosy and became very healthy and beautiful. So Vasudeva was very happy that his leprosy had now gone away. But he was afraid that now he may become a very proud man because he was suffering from leprosy. No one wanted to go near him. And all of a sudden he has been transformed into a very healthy and beautiful person. So he was afraid that he may become very proud. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that just chant Hare Krishna, that will always keep you humble. So from this incident of Vasudeva and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are several significant lessons to be learned for the transcendental candidate. One is that just like Vasudeva was suffering from leprosy, actually thou, we may have been very handsome, beautiful, but actually we all had very demonic habits, demonic tendencies. But due to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and this Krishna conscious movement that he has started, we have all been saved from this obnoxious life that we were all living. And due to the Krishna conscious philosophy, due to being introduced to this Krishna conscious movement, we have all once again become very handsome and beautiful. If we, each of us, was to analyze our lives today versus the lives that we were living prior to coming to Krishna consciousness, we can conclude that we are much better off now. We are happier now. We are more handsome. We are more beautiful. And just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Vasudeva to chant, because that will prevent him from becoming proud. Similarly, if the devotees, they get attached to the chanting of the holy name, then this will prevent them from becoming proud. So Vasudeva, after he was rescued from this obnoxious disease, he wanted to know how could he repay his debt to the Lord. Anybody who is saved from a very serious disease, he naturally wants to find out how can he repay the debt. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him he could repay the debt by chanting Hare Krishna and by making everybody else chant Hare Krishna. So similarly, Prabhupada explains in the purport in this section that the devotees of this Krishna conscious movement, they have been saved from the most obnoxious life that they were living. And they can attempt to repay the debt by broadcasting this Krishna consciousness to everyone that they see. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed every follower, whoever you meet, try to engage him in Krishna consciousness. This vision should always be there. This is known as a vision of eternity. This is known as manifesting Krishna consciousness externally. When the absorption of the devotee is that whoever I see, whoever I meet, some or the other, this individual has to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. In fact, Dao, he is the personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is begging for help. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very frankly states that I am only one gardener. How much can I do? How much can I plant? How many fruits can I eat? Just like Thakur Bhakti Vinod says, Inichi Asodi Maya Nasi Bara Lagi Hari Nama Maha Mantra Lao Tumi Bhagi. By taking this Hare Krishna mantra, now you can become fortunate. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu similarly stated that the living entities are suffering from waves of material miseries. Just like in an ocean, there are waves, one way after another. You cannot even count the number of waves in an ocean. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the living entity is suffering from waves of material miseries. And Narottam Das Thakur also says, Vishaya, that the living entities are just being burnt by this material misery. So constantly one is facing material miseries. Due to the illusion of false ego, we may like to think that we are not suffering miseries, but miseries will always be there. When one becomes a devotee, the miseries get reduced, but it doesn't mean that the miseries will not be there. The problems with the turbulent mind will be there. The problem with the senses will be there. But because we have the superior knowledge, we can control the mind and the senses. So, the miseries are there, and there are waves of material miseries that everyone has to face, especially when one is not a devotee of the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that these miseries, or one can become free from the cycle of birth and death by eating this fruit of love of God. So this fruit of love of God has to be distributed. This fruit of devotional service has to be freely distributed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one should distribute this fruit of love of God freely, without considering who is fit and who is not fit. Just like the clouds. The clouds pour water without any discrimination, whether they're pouring the water on fertile ground or on mountain tops or on rocks. So similarly, the devotee, he should be anxious to distribute this fruit of love of God to everyone. Practically speaking, this means that the devotee does not think, I like this person, so I'm going to give him Krishna consciousness. I don't like this person, so I'm not going to give him Krishna consciousness. No. We have to be absorbed in thoughts of distributing this Krishna consciousness without any discrimination. And we are absorbed in thoughts of distributing this Krishna consciousness, or in thoughts of distributing this fruit of love of God freely, without discrimination, then this will give the transcendental gardener great pleasure. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that when the transcendental gardener sees that this fruit of love of God is being distributed, he smiles with pleasure. Just like the mother, when she sees the child growing up, and when she sees the child performing a variety of activities, it gives the parents great pleasure. When the child begins to talk, it gives the parents great pleasure. Similarly, when the spiritual master sees that the disciple is beginning to exhibit external Krishna consciousness, when the disciple is beginning to grasp this philosophy, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was preaching. It is not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not encounter any Mayavadi. It's not that he did not encounter any atheists. But with polite words of logic, he was able to convince them to the principles of religiousness. So similarly, the members of this Krishna conscious movement, they also have to understand this philosophy so thoroughly that with polite words of logic, they can convert everyone to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that it gives him great pleasure when he sees that somebody else is eating this fruit of love of God. So when we inject Krishna consciousness to somebody, when we get someone to take some level of Krishna consciousness, to be engaged in devotional service at some level, it gives the spiritual master great pleasure to see that his spiritual child has now grown up, he's spiritually maturing. Just like in ordinary life, they talk about getting up, becoming matured. Similarly, there is this concept of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity means the disciple is anxious to fulfill the desires of the spiritual master. The disciple is anxious to fulfill the desires of the Lord that are expressed in the scriptures. Just like in the purport, Prabhupada quotes, Paritranaya sadhunam vinishyaja duskatam. Dharma sansapanathaya sambhavami yoga yoga. The Lord appears in order to establish the principles of religion and to annihilate the miscreants. At one time, the society was less civilized and different religious faiths tried to establish religious principles by the sword. Just like Islam, for example, that is known as the religion of the sword. It is known as the religion of the sword because most of the people were converted to Islam on the basis of force. But today, society has become more civilized. You cannot convert people on the basis of sword. So we have to convert people the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. To convert people by polite words of logic. So we have to train ourselves so expertly that we can defeat all types of people and bring them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the spiritual master were very pleased when they see that this fruit of love of God is being distributed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is how I will be known in every town and village of the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made a prediction that he wants this Krishna conscious movement to be spread to every town and village. Actually, this is a prediction and a challenge and an order. This is an order directly from the Lord to every member of this Krishna conscious movement that he wants this Krishna consciousness to be taken to every town and village of the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically says that as this fruit of love of God will be distributed, I will become more and more famous. So we want to make the Lord famous. The devotee is anxious to preach. The devotee is anxious to talk about Krishna. The devotee is anxious to distribute the books, not in order that he may get some recognition. Of course, the spiritual recognition will be there, but his prime motive in doing this is to make his lovable object known to everyone. His lovable object is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotee directs all his attention, all his love to the Supreme Lord. And just like in ordinary life, material life, when you love someone, you want to exhibit that person. When you like, even materialists, when they buy something, they want to show it off to everyone. Similarly, the devotee has this most valuable treasure, the lotus feet of the Lord, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. and he wants to distribute this to as many people as he can, because he knows that this is the only activity that will give one pleasure. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, as this fruit of distribution of love of God will spread, he will become more and more famous. And just like in a fig tree, wherever you touch, there's a fruit. Similarly, this tree of Krishna consciousness is so sweet that anyone who takes part in it, he will taste the nectar. So we have to equip ourselves so well that we can preach, we can talk to everyone about the principles of religion. Just like, for example, when the Vishnu Dutas came to the Yamadutas, this is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Yamadutas were trying to claim Arjamil, and the Vishnu Dutas were also trying to claim Arjamil on the grounds that he chanted the names of the Lord. So then the Vishnu Dutas told the Yamadutas, then, please describe to us what is religion and what is irreligion. Please describe to us the principles of religion and irreligion. So Prabhupada states in the purport that the disciple must be able to preach the philosophy, but the disciple must be able to preach whom he represents, preach on behalf of whom he represents. So we are representing the Supreme Lord. So we should be able to preach the philosophy that the Lord is advocating. Therefore, we have to equip ourselves thoroughly so that with polite words of logic, this Krishna conscious philosophy can be broadcasted to everyone. And we should never forget that the Lord will always protect His devotee. There's a nice instance. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was trying to convince the Buddhists. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling and preaching, he was meeting a variety of people. You know, as we said, the Mayavadis were meeting, and in one such assembly, the Buddhists, along with the spiritual master, came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were arguing that their Buddhist philosophy, containing 9 principles, is the superior philosophy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers were able to defeat them very easily, and the Buddhists felt very humiliated that their spiritual master was defeated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they conspired that they would offer Chaitanya Mahaprabhu some unoffered foodstuff, which even wasn't very tasty. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would eat it, then they would make a fun. So they took a plate with unoffered food to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were offering it to him. They were saying, oh, this is Mahaprasad, why don't you please eat it? So as they were offering this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a bird came from the top and took that foodstuff on the plate off to eat it. And that plate, which was made of metal, fell on the head of the leader of the Buddhists. And the leader of the Buddhists, his head cracked and he fainted. And then the followers got very, very anxious now as their spiritual master has fainted. And they tried their best to bring him back to life, but he couldn't come back to life. And then they all went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they pleaded guilty for what they had done, and they begged his mercy, and they asked, how can they bring the spiritual master back to life? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them that you have to go and chant the Hare Krishna mantra in his ears. And they all went and chanted Hare Krishna mantra, and then the spiritual master came back to life and he also started chanting Hare Krishna. So the point is that the devotee in preaching Krishna consciousness, he is going to meet resistance. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met people who were trying to resist, trying to make fun, trying to present obstacles. But the Lord always rescues His devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was, of course, Krishna. But the Buddhists were conspiring to make him eat this obnoxious foodstuff. So we have to have faith, just like Amrish Maharaj and Dharasa Muni. Dharasa Muni was very proud of his yogic powers, and Dharasa Muni was hoping that he can harm Amrish Maharaj, but he was not able to harm it. In the end, Dharasa Muni had to apologize to Amrish Maharaj. So the point is, if we have faith in the process of devotional service, then the devotee will always be protected. Just like the Brahmin Jada Bharata, they were ready to offer him to the goddess Durga. But because he was absorbed in thinking of Krishna all the time, he was rescued by the Lord. So the point is that the devotee has faith that the Supreme Lord will protect him in all situations. This is also stated by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, that the devotee has faith. He has faith that Krishna is always protecting him. So the devotee, with faith in the words of the spiritual master, with faith in the words of the Supreme Lord, goes out to preach Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the devotee should, with his words, with his intelligence, with his action, with his body, perform activities for the welfare of others. So this is this Krishna conscious movement. The Krishna conscious movement is a missionary movement. Missionary movement means that our anxiety is not only to Ishan. There's a boy Dave doing japa outside. This Krishna conscious movement is a missionary movement. That means the members of this movement, they are in this movement not only for their own liberation, but they are anxious that this Krishna consciousness be distributed. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement that one should, with his words, with his action, with his thought, and with his body, execute activities which are for his welfare and for the welfare of others. So, for example, the first point is with his action. So we should actively be engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness. As we said earlier, when we engage in preaching Krishna consciousness, this is the external manifestation of our understanding of the philosophy. If we resist the opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness, that means we are practicing Krishna consciousness only 50%. That means we are practicing Krishna consciousness only internally, not externally. But the injunction of scriptures is that we have to practice Krishna consciousness internally and externally. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that one who is absorbed in distributing Krishna consciousness, he is the real devotee of the Lord. He is very quickly recognized by the Lord. We all want to be recognized by somebody else. But the process of recognition is to do what the Lord wants us to do. And above all, the Lord wants every devotee to be absorbed in spreading Krishna consciousness. So with our thoughts, we should keep meditating about new techniques of spreading Krishna consciousness. Krishna is giving his devotees more and more ideas how this Krishna conscious philosophy can be propagated. For example, even though the karmis are constantly trying to present obstacles on the path of this Krishna conscious movement, nevertheless the devotees are constantly discovering new techniques by which Krishna consciousness can be spread. So we cannot underestimate the ability of the devotees to spread Krishna consciousness. The devotees are empowered by the Lord. The Lord who is within the heart of the devotee guides the devotee into newer techniques by which Krishna consciousness can be broadcasted. The only thing necessary is desire. If the desire is there, if the desire is sincere, if our prayer to the Lord is not half-hearted, if our prayer to the Lord is sincere and intense, then the Lord who is within the heart will give one the necessary intelligence to succeed in his missionary assignment. So we should never forget that we are missionaries. Regardless of the position one is in, we have to execute this missionary activity. Just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met this Brahmin Kurma, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not tell him that he has to leave the order he is in, but he told him to practice Krishna consciousness and distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone in that position where he is. So similarly, regardless of the varna or ashram that one may belong to, we should never lose sight of our real business, of our real assignment. That is to distribute Krishna consciousness. So we should not be scared in practicing Krishna consciousness externally. We should not be scared in attempting to distribute this Krishna conscious philosophy, because the whole world is actually drinking poison. Actually, the position of the devotees is very similar to the position of Lord Shiva. The Lord Shiva was approached by the demigods for help. So someone may argue, but the materialists are not coming and approaching us. No, many of them are approaching us. Many people are saying, oh, please come and distribute Krishna consciousness. In fact, when we don't go on Harinam for a period of time in any city, so many people tell us, oh, we haven't seen you for a long time. Where are you these days? Even the media brings up that question, where I haven't seen you all for some time. That means they're indirectly inviting us to come and distribute Krishna consciousness. There's so many people who are anxious to receive the devotees. And even if they're not anxious, the devotee very humbly goes and takes the liberty himself. Therefore, the devotee is called Priya. Priya means one who is very dear to everyone. The devotee is considered to be very dear because the devotee is only interested in giving. He is not interested in taking anything. He may take some donations on behalf of the Lord, but the donations are meant for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. But as far as his own life is concerned, the devotee does not want anything at all. Therefore, it is said the devotee is Priya, he is very dear to everyone, because he is always anxious to give Krishna consciousness. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction that with our thoughts, we should be anxious to give Krishna consciousness, this means we have to keep meditating of newer techniques, newer lines, how we can engage the conditioned soul on the path of devotional service. Then he says, with our words, with the words also, we should be anxious to enlighten others about this Krishna conscious philosophy. Then he says, with our actions should be so directed so that the Krishna conscious message can be made aware better, so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name can become more famous. This is the sign of intelligence. The sign of intelligence is not how you shrink engaging in this most important act. The sign of intelligence is not how you specialize in genuine excuses how this most important activity can be avoided. That is not intelligence. That is spiritually known as misusing one's intelligence. Just the correct utilization of spiritual intelligence is when we take these instructions to heart, and when you take these instructions to heart and act accordingly, then the Supreme Lord smiles at such a devotee. The Supreme Lord smiles and he sees, now my devotee has grown up spiritually. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very specifically says that Krishna recognizes such a devotee who is personally undergoing voluntary suffering to relieve the suffering of the people in general. So the suffering, the inconvenience that we have to experience when we go out on sankirtan, they should be accepted voluntarily. One should not feel that he's being forced out into sankirtan. We have to carefully understand this philosophy if we have to be sure that even at the moment of death, we will be remembering Krishna. If we don't understand this philosophy correctly, if we begin to deviate from this philosophy, then there is no guarantee that at the moment of death, we will be remembering Krishna. If you want to be sure that you die smilingly, dying smilingly means dying in a happy state, dying in the state we are remembering Krishna. Each of us has to die. That is an inevitable fact. So if you want to be sure that at the moment of death also you die in happy consciousness, you die thinking of Krishna, then we have to understand this philosophy very carefully. And if we understand this philosophy, then we will understand that we not only have to chant Hare Krishna, we not only have to chant 16 rounds, we not only have to take to the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. This process of Vaidhi Bhakti has to be very carefully understood. The process of Vaidhi Bhakti is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Rupa Goswami explains that the sadhana bhakti is known as rendering devotional service in practice. The stage of rendering devotional services in practice is divided into two parts. One is known as Vaidhi Bhakti and the other is known as Raganuga Bhakti. So Vaidhi Bhakti means the following of rules and regulations for developing love of God. Development of love of God is not that you, something like you take a tablet and all of a sudden you develop love of God. Developing a love of God involves going through spiritual exercises, going through spiritual endeavors. That means, what is spiritual endeavor? Spiritual endeavor means you make an effort to develop love of God. You make an effort to reach the stage where you spontaneously have love of God. And what is that effort? That effort means getting up in the morning for Mangal Aarti. One literally has to make an effort to come for Mangal Aarti because the senses are so strong. The intelligence gets controlled. The mind gets controlled. And when it is time to get up to greet the Lord, one feels like taking rest. One feels like sleeping. So the process of Vaidhi Bhakti means you struggle and you defeat the material dictates of the mind to pieces. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was arguing and discussing with people of different faiths, he was able to break their points to pieces with words of logic. So similarly, we have to become so expert that we can break the material dictates, these material thoughts, to pieces with words of logic. We have to become so expert spiritually that all these material desires that are preventing us from developing genuine love of God can be broken to pieces with words of logic. Because if we do not apply logic in breaking these material thoughts to pieces, then these material thoughts will occupy a dominant position in the body. And when they occupy a dominant position in the body, then the victory over illusory energy will appear very difficult. Just like when you have the enemy spies in your camp, then the opportunity to defeat the enemy in a battle becomes more difficult. So similarly, when we let the illusory concepts, when we let material concepts remain in the heart, remain in the body, then the ability to defeat the enemy or to have spiritual victory will definitely be more difficult. So you should be ready to get up for Mangal Aarti. Doesn't matter what price you have to pay. The price may be pain in the body. The price may be some inconvenience. But as Lord Shiva is saying, one has to accept voluntary suffering in order to realize love of God. You cannot realize love of God unless you accept voluntary suffering. Why is it that people of the other faiths are not developing love of God? Because the concept of voluntary suffering has been forgotten. They want to attend a mass, sitting down at home and watching it on television. They want to go to the church, but they want to attend the mass sitting down in the car. Therefore, you have drive-in churches. So the concept of voluntary suffering has been totally lost to the so-called spiritual aspirants. But they should not be lost to the aspirants of this Krishna conscious movement. They should not be lost to the members of this Krishna conscious movement. The members of this Krishna conscious movement must understand that doesn't matter which varna or ashram one may belong to, the principle of voluntarily suffering on behalf of the others must be there. This is what pleases the Lord. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees that my disciple is undergoing this suffering voluntarily, just to distribute this fruit of love of God, just to distribute this fruit so that he becomes free from the cycle of birth and death. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, anybody who is going to eat this fruit of love of God, he is going to become free from the cycle of birth and death. Just like the aniseed manufacturer or the manufacturer of these different pills, the manufacturers of the different pills advertise, take this pill and you take this tablet and you will be relieved of all pain. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, take this fruit of love of God and be relieved of the pain of birth and death. So the point is, we have to voluntarily undergo these sufferings. And when you have to struggle with the mind and the senses in order to execute Vaidhi Bhakti, that makes one glorious in the eyes of Krishna. We become glorious in the eyes of Krishna based upon our suffering. We don't become glorious in the eyes of Krishna when you want to execute devotional service, sitting down in a very comfortable position. But when Krishna sees that my disciples are undergoing voluntary suffering, he makes that devotee very glorious. So, we were talking about the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means you struggle with your mind and the senses in order to practice devotional service. Just like any sportsman, before a match he is always practicing. And the more they practice, the better sportsman you become. Someone who's becoming an actor is constantly rehearsing to become a good actor. So similarly, our goal is to reach the stage where we have spontaneous love of God, Raghunuga Bhakti. But to get to that stage where you have spontaneous love of God, you have to practice the art of devotional service. Practicing the art of devotional service is known as the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. So when we abstain from the rules and regulations that are given to us in order to develop the stage of spontaneous love of God, we are actually not practicing devotional service. And if we do not practice, there is no question of winning the match against the cycle of birth and death. The devotee is engaged in a match, and the other team is the cycle of birth and death. So if you want to win the match against the opposite team, then you have to practice the process of Vaidhi Bhakti very rigidly. So one of the steps in this process of Vaidhi Bhakti is attending Mangal Aarti. So we all have to attend it regularly. Not that we abstain ourselves. When you abstain yourself from any of these procedures that are outlined, then just remember, you're abstaining yourself from the opportunity to develop love of God. You're abstaining yourself from the opportunity to get closer to Krishna. One will not get closer to Krishna just on the basis of hard work. So we must come to Mangal Aarti. We must come to class. And not only come to the class, but you must also be attentive and wide awake in the class. How will you explain the principles of religion? Our purpose is to explain the principles of religion. Just like the Yamadutas were challenging the Vishnudutas. And then the Vishnudutas said, okay, now you please explain what is religion and irreligion. So we are meeting so many karmis. We are meeting so many people who have some concept of religion, but they don't have a complete concept of real religion. So how are we going to defeat them? You're not going to defeat them just by telling you, not this body or this soul. No, those days are gone. The materialists are also pretty smart these days. So you have to be able to defeat them with words of logic and very politely. Not that you just shout and they'll get scared and they'll accept it. No. We have to become so expert at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He very politely was able to defeat everyone with words of logic and smash their doctrines to pieces. So you can only smash their doctrine to pieces if you have heard properly. If you do not hear properly, then there's no question of being well equipped to defeat others with polite words of logic. Then another aspect of Vaidhi Bhakti is to come to Guru Puja. You must come to Guru Puja. Then the most important aspect of Vaidhi Bhakti, of course, is chanting the 16 rounds very attentively, attempting to avoid the 10 offenses. So this process of Vaidhi Bhakti has to be followed regularly. And if this process of Vaidhi Bhakti is practiced regularly, then you can win the match. And then you can get to the stage of Raghunuga Bhakti. Raghunuga Bhakti means where you're spontaneously remembering Krishna all the time. Another problem that we suffer from is, though we may have executed Vaidhi Bhakti for a few months, we all of a sudden think that we have reached the stage of Raghunuga Bhakti and we can become careless in following the procedures of Vaidhi Bhakti. This is wrong. We haven't reached that stage. And even if one has reached the stage, the devotee always thinks that he has not reached that stage. And even if one has reached that stage, he follows the process of Vaidhi Bhakti to be exemplary to others. We have to be exemplary to others. We have to be living encyclopedias of this knowledge. To be a living encyclopedia of this knowledge means to practice this knowledge at every step of your life. So we have to take this process of Vaidhi Bhakti very seriously. And we have to be very rigid. We are not scared of voluntarily suffering for the pleasure of the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. And if we take to the process of Vaidhi Bhakti regularly, then everything will appear very clear. Just like on a clear blue sky, you can see everything clearly. But if there's fog, if there's clouds, you cannot see clearly. So taking to the process of Vaidhi Bhakti means seeing everything in a clear blue sky. Then you can see everything clearly. Then you can understand the spiritual position of every entity that you see. And then you can translate the internal realization of the Krishna conscious philosophy into the external manifestation of this philosophy. And the external manifestation of the Krishna conscious philosophy is voluntarily accepting suffering for the benefit of the people in general. So the members of this Krishna conscious movement, they not have only have to internally practice this Krishna conscious philosophy, but they also have to manifest this Krishna conscious philosophy externally. And the external manifestation of the Krishna conscious philosophy is distributing Krishna consciousness. And this activity is the activity which gets the devotee recognize the Krishna very easily. So this instruction of Lord Shiva, that the great personalities always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of the people in general, they should always be kept in the forefront of our mind. That we are here not only to save ourselves, but also to save others. So this instruction of Lord Shiva is very, very significant. Just like Lord Shiva saved people from drinking the ocean of poison, we have to save humanity from drinking this poison. Just like the Bhagavatam says, the waters of the ocean can cross over, but the waters of the ocean are prevented from crossing over by the shore. So the devotees have to become the spiritual wall by which the poisonous oceans of this water, by the poisonous desires of sense gratification, will not be allowed to penetrate. And the only necessary ingredient to become the spiritual wall is to the determination to take this instruction of Lord Shiva to heart. And if we take this instruction of Lord Shiva to heart, then Krishna will always protect us, and we have to have faith. And we cited the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saved from the dishonor that the Buddhists were trying to inflict. And Krishna will always protect the devotee. Hare Krishna.